Good morning.
Good morning.
It is great to be behind this pulpit once again. I didn't know when I'd be back, but Doreen and I have decided to come back. I look out at the audience. But I know about 80% of you. Just a short history. My wife and I and our family worshipped here up until 2017. We were here for over 10 years. And we moved up to Pollock Pines, and we were worshiping with the Camino congregation, a very small congregation. But we had decided to come back. I thank brothers such as Brother Richard, who told me one time when we were visiting, he said, "You know where home is." And I truly believe this is where we belong. I want to thank Adam so very much for letting me switch. I really appreciate it, brother. After the lesson, you might go up to Adam and say, "Don't ever do that again." But I think we're going to get through this, and hopefully it'll be edifying. You just don't understand. That's the title of this lesson. You just don't understand. As parents, we have heard these words many times from our own children. A popular song in the 80s reverberated this, conveyed this to us, conveyed that to our generation. Being a grandfather, I'm a new grandfather now, and I can already see with my daughter a new maturity, a different way of living. Growing up, raising our children, we always got the eye rolls, where the children would roll their eyes. I tell my daughter things now concerning my granddaughter. Oh, maybe you should be doing this or this. And there's a different kind of eye roll going on now. "You don't understand, Dad. There's a better way to do it now." Well, it worked for us. It worked for you. You didn't turn out half bad, so we must have known something. For instance, my daughter, she likes to record how much food my granddaughter eats. After every feeding, she has an app and she records. And when she's sleeping, she records and wakes up and whatever. For me, I don't understand this at all. Why are you doing this? A baby is a very natural thing. It's going to sleep when it wants to sleep. It's going to be hungry when it's hungry. Why do I need to know when I had two things of formula? Anyways, I don't understand that. That's all right. It's a cycle we go through. We all have gone through this. We were all kids at one time, and we thought our parents didn't understand. Now, as parents and grandparents, we think, well, kids don't understand, quite frankly. One thing we must all understand, though, and never change our belief in, and that is God's Word, the Holy Bible. I say holy because Psalms 9:9 tells us, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." If he is holy, then anything that he made, his word, is holy as well. Isn't it comforting, church, to know we have a God, God's word available to us any time of day? We all have Bibles, I hope. If you don't, we certainly get you one. I was sitting there last night doing this lesson, and I was thinking, and maybe just like you, you have this device in your home. And I don't know what it's, some are called like Alexa or I don't know. But you know what I'm talking about, maybe. But I have this device hooked up to my internet, and I can ask this little device a number of questions, and this person's voice will come on, a lady's voice will come on, and they'll tell me. So I tried it last night, and I said, I have to say, "Hey, Google, read Genesis 1:1. And sure enough, this lady's voice came on and gave me some stuff prior to it, but she read Genesis 1:1 to me. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty cool. And it does a number of other things as far as things around the house and your television and whatnot. But as much as I enjoyed that, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I never will. Doreen tells me, you're getting old. No, let me correct that. Doreen tells me I am old. But there are some things in this life that I just do not understand. And I can remember, and I say all this because I can remember when my mother got her first ATM card, and she didn't know how to do it. She didn't want to know how to do it. My mother went into the bank until she passed away. She never used that ATM card because she just didn't understand it. That's not how she was raised. And I always thought that was humorous. Now I'm in the same boat. I consider myself somewhat intelligent, but how certain things work, again, I will never understand. And yet, as I've said, we do have God's word, and that most definitely is worth understanding. Book of Psalms 119, beginning in verse 97 through 104. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. 104. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Did you hear the last verse? Therefore, I hate every false way. I take the Bible very literally. I'm one who does that. And this verse made me actually laugh this past week. approximately 2 weeks ago, I went to visit my sister. She lives down in Las Vegas. I always go 395, a beautiful route. Much better, I think, than going through I-5 where there's nothing. But anyways, I'll change my thought probably on my next trip because of what happened. I was going through this small town, and I don't know, I can't even remember the town, but it was near Tonopah, if I'm saying that right. Well, I got the lights on behind me. So I pulled over, and this individual cop told me that I was doing 78 and a 60. And I didn't argue with him. I said, okay. He goes, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to drop it down to 70 for you. Okay. That's nice, I guess. Thank you. So I go on my way. I change my trip so that I can come back through that town and pay the ticket. I don't want to have to deal with it when I get back home. And if you can picture Mayberry, that is what I'm walking into. Anyways, so I go into this trailer, and this is the courthouse, and I'm here to pay my ticket. And they said, okay. And they said, where are you from? I said, California. And the clerk turns to the other clerk and says, okay, we'll drop it down to a non-moving violation. My mind, again, I'm somewhat intelligent, somewhat. So I'm thinking, wait a minute. How can a speeding ticket become a non-moving violation? Now, what do? You've got one of two things to do. You stand there and say thank you and walk out the door as fast as you can. Or you say, well, now, wait a minute. I was speeding. How is it you're not going to give me, you know, make it a moving? How many of us are going to do that? Therefore, I hate every false way. To say speeding ticket was a non-moving violation is false, but I'm not going to argue with that clerk. I wasn't going to do it. I don't understand the validity of a speeding ticket if I wasn't moving, but I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. As soon as that happened to me, I said, there was a sermon in there somewhere. And I'm using that today. Things we don't understand. Church, as the psalmist wrote, Psalms 119, 104. Through your precepts, And I wanted to define what precepts are because we use that quite often. A general rule intended to regulate behavior or thought. So through your precepts, a general rule, I get understanding. Talking to God. Through God's rules, His commands, His word. These are the things that should be our moral compass. Has God made a command for me, but not for you? I'm not speaking of man and woman. We know there are things in the Bible that tells us women are not to do certain things. Men are. I'm not speaking of elders and deacons. They have their own responsibilities, and God's given them that to them. But I'm speaking about you, and I'm speaking about me, the individual. Is my path to heaven the same as yours? Does God expect me to worship in the same manner a brother and sister worships, say in England, say in Japan? Is there a difference there? And yet for some, probably ourselves at some point in our life, we like to play being that individual person, but we take it a step further. I'm an independent person. I'm a rebel. And sadly, in today's world, we hear the term, I'm a victim. Who wants to be a victim? Let's not be victims, let's be victors. It's no fun being a victim. People usually don't boast about that. People usually don't have good stories about that. Have you ever heard anyone say the following? But you don't understand what I'm going through. You have more money than I do. How could you possibly relate to my problems? But you grew up in the church and I didn't. You have someone you can talk to. I don't. On that last one, if you hear anything in this sermon, please hear that. If you are in earshot reach of me, you have someone to talk to. And if it's not me you're going to talk to, we have many brothers and sisters who will talk to you. Please don't leave here thinking you have no one to talk to. We are a family, and we better start acting like it. Back to the lesson. Can you honestly understand what people are going through if you haven't been in that exact situation or scenario? I always found it funny that when people talk of Bible stories, they're all, the hindsight is always 20/20. It's always, men have told me, if I'd have been in that garden, I wouldn't have taken a bite of that fruit. I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have sinned against God because God told me to. If I was with Jesus when he was being arrested, I wouldn't have betrayed him as Peter did. I would have stood up. I would never have denied his name 3 times. Can we honestly say that? Even in Bible lessons today, we are guilty of this when we talk of Israelites. The Israelites. God's chosen people. They always turn their back on God. They always went back to idolatry. They didn't know how good they had it. The law was written for them in stone even. Moses climbed the mountain and came back down with 10 commandments. And still they violated God's will. What is wrong with these people? Church, if we're coming clean, as it were, can't we say the same about us today? Are there times we turn our back on God? Are there times that we turn to idolatry? And idolatry being anything that takes you away from God, anything that distracts you from God. They didn't know how good they had it. I actually talked to a lady the other day who said, I'm glad the power's out. And I just laughed. I thought she was joking, but she went on to say, no, I'd rather have it out than not have a house at all. I thought, okay, well, that's one way of looking at it. Richard, do you know how good you have it? Richard, do I know how good I have it? What are you talking about? You're glad the power's out? 3 days, Doreena and I went without power. I don't know about you. For those 3 days, I couldn't sleep. I used a CPAP machine. Well, a CPAP machine requires electricity. They have battery packs, yes. I'm trying to get one right now. But nevertheless, I couldn't sleep. I got about 2 hours every night. And Doreen probably slept less because of the storm. We had to throw food away. Had some yogurt in the freezer. Doreen walks in. I said, I got to save this yogurt before it goes bad. We had to throw some food away. We can talk like that. We can say that. We can complain that way. But how much better would it be if I understood and appreciated what God was truly doing for me? God had provided electricity for my house the entire year before, up until that day. Did I ever thank Him for that electricity? Did I thank Him for the utilities we have? God allowed me to get enough rest so that I could still work and meet with family and friends. I didn't crash on the road because I was so sleepy. I had enough rest that I could go about my day. And God gave me more than enough food. I was never without food. Have an entire pantry full of food. Maybe not the food we wanted for those 3 days, but there was food to sustain us. And did I mention we have a generator? Last year I got the transfer switch hooked up to my house. So now it's pretty nice. You just hook the generator directly to the house and it lights up everything. No extension cords or anything. How bad did I have it? I didn't have it bad at all. Shouldn't this be our way of thinking, church? Instead of looking at the negative, shouldn't we understand that God is always there for us? Philippians 4:10-13, speaking of the generosity at Philippi. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. This is Paul speaking. I know how to be abased. Again, definition. Behave in a way that belittles or degrades someone. And I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul is telling us through God's word that we can be inflicted. We can have every infliction on the face of this earth. We can be in the best health that we've ever been in. It doesn't matter. One or the other. What does matter is God is the constant in our life. I told Michael the other day, I appreciated what he said in a Wednesday night class. He talked about us being sojourners. And that is so true. We are not here. We make roots. We plant. We, as he said, we collect things as if we're coming back for them. We're only here for a short while. You're going to have good times. You're going to have bad. But we're looking at the big picture as Christians. As children of God, we have a much bigger picture. Going back to the beginning. But you don't know what I'm going through. You can't possibly understand. I love this page of the Bible because it should humble every one of us. It definitely humbles me when I am anything but joyful. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 22 through 28. Speaking of suffering for Christ. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, and again, this is Paul. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I've received 40 stripes, minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in wilderness, perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness, toil, and sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, and fastings, often in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes up upon me daily? My deep concern for the churches. And it's very interesting that he makes that his last comment there. His concern for the churches. Think about the last time you were concerned with something. Think about the last time something made you angry. Something that you gave a lot of thought to. Was it family? Was it for friends? By all means, go to God in prayer for that. Our families are a blessing to us. Never take that for granted. Or was it for other things? Was it for politics? People at work who irritate you? Was it about that guy who cut you off on the freeway the other day? Paul says his concern was for all the churches. This should make us think, should make us understand what is really important. Verse 13 of the previous reading, very familiar passage. Do we understand it? How is it Jesus Christ can strengthen me? Have you ever asked yourself that? What makes it so? Why do I turn to Jesus for comfort? We've just read about Paul's affliction, his trials, and he tells us what? Philippians 4:4, familiar verse. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. You see everything that this man went through, and it's not just what he went through, it's why did he go through it? Because of his love for God. Think of the things that we go through. Why do we do it? Again, it might be for family, it might be because of a job. But would we sustain those things for our job? Paul did this for God and to help others. We've seen what Paul went through. Now let's take a look at our Lord's time as flesh and blood. How Christ was treated. Again, why do we take strength from Christ? Do we understand? Christ was from the wrong part of the country. John 1:43-46. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Peter found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Have you ever been in a situation like that, where you told somebody where you're from or where you're living currently, and they get a little frown on their face, they get a little smirk, something happens to them? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Many things did come out of Nazareth. The greatest came out of Nazareth. Wrong ethnicity. John 4:9. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." We're seeing this, unfortunately, so much in today's world. We look at people not for who they are, but we look at the skin color. We look at their religious beliefs, whatever it may be. Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. That is what made Jesus so great, isn't it? Because he came here, what? To save the lost. He came to save the sick, and we'll talk about that. It didn't concern Jesus that this group of people didn't like him hanging around with these people. Talking with a prostitute. Talking with someone who was not a believer of God. That didn't concern him. No education. John 7, 15 through 19. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How does this man know letters, having never studied?" Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory, the one who sent him, is true. And no unrighteousness is found him. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keep the law?" I love that little bit at the very end when Jesus says that. How does this man know letters? How is this man teaching? How is this man attempting to teach? Has there been a situation in your life where you didn't have possibly going for a promotion or something? You didn't have the right credentials. You didn't have the right education. You didn't have that piece of paper that said you went to college for 4 years. Did that get you down? Did that get you discouraged? No one important listens to him. John 7:48. This is speaking on the division of just who Jesus is. Who is this Jesus? John 7:41. Excuse me. Others say he is the Messiah. Still others ask, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, "Why didn't you bring him in?" "No one ever spoke the way this man does," the guards replied. The guards knew something was going on. The guards knew something was different. "You should hear how this man is speaking." They're listening to him. "You mean he has deceived you also?" the Pharisee retorted. He didn't want to hear that. The unbeliever didn't want to hear that. "He's deceived you too, I see. Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him?" "No, but this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them." What's going on here? The government, the high priest, we're the ones that matter. We're the ones that will tell you what's important, what's not important. Not this Messiah you're calling on. No one important listens to him. Has that ever happened to you? Have you been in that situation? "Why doesn't anyone listen to me?" We see this often in our own government, don't we? We elect individuals to represent us, to represent our needs. And yet it seems many times when they get to Washington, they're interested in only their own agenda.
Amen.
They forget about the needs of the people that voted them into office. It's not uncommon, I'm sure, and I know I heard it one time. A congresswoman said, "I know what's best for them." Nobody listens to me. Nobody listens to little old me. Not old enough. John 8:56-59, speaking to the Jews. "Your father Abraham rejoiced on the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not 50 years old, they said to him, "and you've seen Abraham?" Very truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham is born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. You're not even 50 years old yet, Jesus. How could you possibly seen Abraham? We're talking roughly 2,000 years apart. But for you and I, has age ever been a situation that's got you down? Have you ever been told, you're too old, you can't do this? When I think of age, I think of the young people. I cannot imagine what the young people are going through today. The things my friends and I talked about in elementary school are not the things they're talking about in elementary school today. It's sad. You can read it in the paper. Brothers and sisters, we need to pray for our young people. We need to earnestly pray for them. And to the young people, I would say, don't grow up too fast. Enjoy it. God loves the innocence of a child, doesn't he? Well, Jesus hangs out with the wrong crowd, Matthew 9:10-13. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans, if I'm saying that right, and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Hangs out with the wrong crowd. Can you relate to that? Have you ever been told by a family member you shouldn't hang out with that person? Have you ever been told by a friend you shouldn't hang out with that family member? Who do you hang out with? Who knows you? Who do you go to when you need someone? We've already talked about that. Where Jesus hung out with people that other people would never have done anything with, much less talk to them, much less help them. No one special. Matthew 13:53-57. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished his parables, he departed thence. And when he has come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph, Simon, Judas? And his sisters, are they all not with us? Whence then had this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. No one special. Isn't this the carpenter's son? What does that matter? Does it matter where you came from? Or does it matter where you're going? Again, the big picture, we all plan to go to heaven, I believe. So how are we going to get there? What is our focus? Ethnicity, age, who we are friends with, not being educated. Again, have you ever been concerned with any of these things? Have you gone through these things in your life? Do you truly understand Christ our Savior went through it all and so much more? As he eventually went to a cross and died on that cross. What do you understand? What do I understand? going back to one of those first comments, well, you couldn't possibly understand because you don't know what I'm going through. You just don't get it. Church, Christ got it. Christ went through everything that we go through. I just said, listed seven examples. And again, he went through so much more. At the time of your death, imagine if you had the opportunity, imagine if you had the ability to say, you know what, I don't want to die right now. Lord forbid you're going to die in a horrible way, but if you had that power, if you will, how many of you would use that? How many of us would do that? I don't want to die just now. There's still things I want to do on this earth. But Christ, having that power, accepted his death because he was doing God's will. He could have come off that cross. He never had to go on that cross. Christ went through it, and he went through so much more. In conclusion, 1 Peter 4:13 through 16. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory in God rest upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. You don't understand what I'm going through. What are you going through? Are you going through things of this world? Things that will pass? Dear sweet woman used to tell me in the church, this too will pass. And that is so true. But what won't pass is where we are spending eternity. That's for eternity. That's eternal. That's forever. Have we grasped that yet? Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. What are you suffering for? Are you suffering for things of this world? Are you suffering for Christ? Are you getting upset over things that happen at work? Or does it bother you with things that are happening in the church? Not in the church maybe, but outside the church. If Solomon didn't tell us there was nothing new under the sun, I would tell you every time I see you. I can't believe how bad society is getting. But church, this is nothing new. This is nothing new, what we're seeing. Sin has always been sin. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Are you a Christian? Are you suffering? Do you understand what one must do to be saved? Do you understand God loves you? The lesson was on understanding. Do you understand all these things? If you're a Christian, you do understand that baptism is necessary for salvation. For this invitation, we're talking to those who aren't baptized, who might not understand. We think of the story of the eunuch. What did he understand about the Bible? What did he understand about God, about Jesus? We're told that he believed, And on that alone, he was baptized. There is no test required. There is no waiting period. In fact, we don't want you to wait any longer. Our Savior offers that to us today, to become a Christian, become a child of His. Stop concerning yourself with things of this world. They're going to continue. Start putting your focus where it should be, on God. The invitation is also open up to those who need prayers. As I said at the very beginning, we are a family. We are brothers and sisters, are we not? If a brother or sister is hurting, you go to them. There are some in this congregation that we don't know if you're hurting. And if you feel the prayers of the church would help, as all prayers do, we invite you to come forward and to let those concerns be known as we sing the invitation song this time.